Well, thank you, Lara. Our second scripture lesson comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 67 through 79. It can be found on page 58 in your New Testament Bible if you would like to read along. Luke, chapter 1, 67 to 79. Then his father was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke this prophecy. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David. As he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors, and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. For the word of God in Scripture, the word of God among us, the word of God within us. So we started our church-wide study of Brian McLaren's fantastic book, We Make the Road by Walking, way back in September. And Brian breaks his book into four sections. We've just read through the first section, which he calls Alive in the Story of Creation. And that has taken us through parts of the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible. And the Old Testament is vast. And at times, I felt like we were only really dipping our feet into its deep waters. But Brian does a good job of highlighting specific scriptures to read and trying to lead us through the movement and the trajectory of the Bible. For the Bible, for Brian, is moving in a specific direction. In section 2, Alive in the Adventure of Jesus, begins in chapter 14, which we read this week. And Brian begins this chapter by saying the Bible is a book about hopes and desires and dreams. It begins with a story about a God who desires and hopes and longs for a good and a beautiful world. But while the Bible is a book about God, he says it's also a book about humans. And the story of humans found in the Bible includes people who desired power to kill and oppress and enslave others. He says the Bible is also a book about a specific tribe, the Israelites, who hope and dream for a land to call their own and who desire to be a particular kind of people in the world. And when that tribe finally finds that land they desire, they hope and dream about a time when they will not be torn apart by internal conflict and rivalries and power, and they hope and dream for a time when they will not live in fear of their enemies. The Bible is a book about desires and dreams and hopes. And to be human is to also have desires, dreams, and hopes. We each have our own desires, dreams, and hopes. We have them for our careers and the work we want to give our time and energy to. We have desires and hopes and dreams for the kind of person we want to become and maybe the kind of person we want to journey through this life with. We have desires and hopes and dreams for where we want to live, and a dream for a particular kind of home to live in. And we each have desires, hopes, and dreams for TPC. We dream of the kind of people we can become and the type of ministry that we long to be a part of. And we have desires and hopes and dreams for our world too. We all do. I hope and dream of a time when war and violence are no longer the norm. I dream of a time when the earth is no longer abused and stretched and being drained of its resources. I hope for a time when there is no longer a racial divide in our country and the vision that Dr. Martin Luther King advocated for is realized. To be human is to have desires and hopes and dreams. And Isaiah, who wrote our first scripture, which Lara read, had hopes and dreams too. And McLaren has a unique way of describing the prophets in the Bible, such as Isaiah. He calls them the custodians of the best hopes and desires and dreams of their society. The prophets held out dreams for people to see and to cling to and to imagine that they were possible. And the prophets, like Isaiah, they challenged people to live their lives that were consistent with those hopes and desires and dreams. And when they saw the opposite of those dreams happening and people living in harmful ways, they warned them of where their actions would lead. The book of Isaiah, it's written during a time after Israel had broken up into two kingdoms. So politics had gotten the best of them. And Israel had become the kingdom of the north, and Judah, the kingdom of the south. And chapter 40, which we read, is written during a time when Judah had been conquered by Babylon, a huge empire at the time. And many Judeans were taken from their homeland and forced to live in Babylon. So chapter 40 is written to those exiled Judeans living in Babylon. Isaiah's words are written to a people who were ripped from their homes and forced to live in a far-off land. Their culture and their way of life destroyed. The religion that defined them now subjugated to the gods of Babylon, and their temple in Jerusalem where God lived and was housed demolished. And so Isaiah, he stands up and he speaks to what I can only imagine were a people devoid of any kind of hope. And he invites them to dream. "Do not fear," Isaiah says. "Here is your God. Your God is coming for you, and your God is coming with power." And like the prophet that Isaiah was, he holds out this dream that invites people to hope and imagine that one day it could happen. After Isaiah, prophets followed in his footsteps who dared to hope, like Ezekiel, who dreamed of a time when people's hearts of stone would be replaced with hearts of flesh. Or Amos, who envisioned a time when justice would roll down like a river throughout the land. Desires and dreams of these hope-filled prophets that led up to Jesus never died. They kept being the custodians of the best hopes and the best dreams of their society. But it's helpful to note that their dreams were never completely fulfilled either. The Persian Empire eventually conquered Babylon. The Persians actually allowed the Judeans to go back home and start rebuilding. But eventually the Greek Empire came in and conquered the Israelites. And then the Romans conquered the Greeks. The prophets' hopes and dreams were never fully realized. And then in our gospel reading from Luke, with Israel now under Roman captivity, Zechariah looks at his son who will become John the Baptist, and he keeps that dream alive. Zechariah dares to hope in a future that is not just better for him and for his people, but better for everyone. The Bible is a book about desires and dreams and hope, and many of them still haven't been realized. In the second chapter of Isaiah, he dreams of a time when tools for war and killing will be repurposed and refashioned into tools for agriculture. Tools remade to bring life, not death. And he envisions a time when war will no longer be the norm. We sure are not there yet, are we? In chapter 14 of We Make the Road by Walking, Brian makes, I think, a very helpful distinction between a hope and a wish. He says, desires, hopes, and dreams, they inspire action. They invite you to live a particular way. They guide and shape our action today. So if I want to one day run a marathon, that desire should begin to shape how I live my life right now. I should start learning about running and training to run a marathon and spending time around people who run marathons. My dream to run a marathon should inspire action in me right now. But a wish, Brian says, a wish is a substitute for action. He says it creates a passive optimism that can paralyze people in a happy fog of complacency. What a great phrase. A happy fog of complacency. We want it to happen, but we're not doing anything to move us in that direction. Now, if I were to wish to run a marathon, and I was pretty confident that I'd be fine when that starter gun went off, you'd find me 10 minutes later, maybe, but most likely not, a mile or so down the road, bent over, gasping for air, my heart beating like a rabbit. Wishes don't shape our lives towards what we long for, but dreams and hopes and desires, they inspire action in us. They shape us into who we are today, who we are to be today. If I want to run a marathon, I need to start living differently right now. And so as we enter into the season of Advent and we light our first candle, a question to ask ourselves is, what kind of a person will we be? Will we continue on the legacy of those who went before us, like Isaiah and Ezekiel, Amos and Zechariah, who laid out a vision of the best hopes and desires and dreams of their society, and then let that vision guide our actions today? Or will we sit back and wish that, well, one day everything will just get better by itself? Or even worse, just become pessimistic about everything? Because personally, that's what I'm always battling. A healthy dose of pessimism. I look at the earth and climate change and rising temperatures and scarce resources, and I wonder, what can I do? I look at the racial tension in our country and how hard it is just to have a conversation around race, and I wonder, will it ever get better? We still seem so far away from that beloved community that Dr. King envisioned. Making a wish or allowing pessimism to set in to become the norm are so easy to do, aren't they? But then I'm reminded that our world needs people like us who hope and who dream for the best visions for our world. And then let that dream inspire action in us right now. 2 weeks ago, I walked into the entrance of our parking lot and I saw this giant container filled with batteries. It's really heavy. Waiting to be recycled. And I'll admit, I was a little shocked it filled up so quickly. We offered you the invitation to bring your batteries in to be recycled, not knowing at all if you'd respond. And you did. And then I remember that many of you have switched your gas and electricity at home over to renewable energy. Because here at TPC, we dream and we hope about what it looks like to live sustainably and care for the earth. And that hope shapes you. It shapes us into how we will live and act today. And then I remember that 2 years ago, we dared to read a book about racial inequality called Waking Up White. And right now, one of our small groups is in the midst of a 21-day challenge to learn and explore and build habits of how they might courageously enter into the race conversation in our country. They dream about racial equality, and that dream is guiding and shaping them and how they will live and act today. And then I remember that together we are a community of hope, a community that desires and dreams the best hopes for our world. The dream of Isaiah and Ezekiel and Amos and Zechariah lives on with us. Brian ends chapter 14 by saying this: to be alive in the adventure of Jesus is to have a desire, a dream, and a hope for the future. It's to translate that hope for the future into action in the present and to keep acting in light of it, no matter the disappointment, no matter the setbacks, no matter the delays. He then says, so let us begin this Advent season by lighting a candle for the prophets who proclaimed their hopes, desires, and dreams. Let us keep their flame glowing strong in our hearts, even now. Amen.